can I have Grant Cardone's phone number?
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Bauberg Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. I am here with Dave Mamano. Dave, how are we doing today?
Super fantastic. I'm psyched to be here. How are you doing, Ben?
I'm doing great. I'm amazing. I'm going to use a cheat sheet to read your bio because I usually don't read bios, but I'm going to tell you last night, Dave. So you came at high recommendation from a few people that have been on the show. And so I was like, all right, let me you know, give them a call. Let me send them an email. Let's get them on. And I understood that you were a rock star, but then I started reading your bio and I'm like, I should have done like 2 weeks of prep for this because this guy's done so many things. Growth specialist, podcast host, TEDx speaker, best-selling author, you're an adjunct professor, you're the founder of Avanti Entrepreneur Network, and your podcast, you know, I look up to this ultimately, the Gonzo Experience has had on, let's see, Grant Cardone, Ed Milet, Ellen Latham, Jack Daly, Kevin Harrington, and probably a ton more, right? So I wanted to give you that intro. I usually don't introduce my guests, but if anyone was like me and was under a rock and hadn't met Dave yet, here's your introduction. Anything I missed there, though?
No, I think what you're describing is my very intense case of ADHD through the years. So yes, I have done a lot. one guest I've had on my podcast that I certainly would love to promote since this is a Rochester focused podcast is Tom Galassano. I had Tom on my podcast about a year ago, and he is special to me because obviously he's done such incredible things for the Rochester community, and he's such a 10 out of 10 brilliant business owner who has, you know, given so much back. But he's extra special to me because when I started my first company back in 1995, that was a magazine. So I was a magazine publisher by day, but at night I was a waiter, right? Just the proverbial doing whatever it takes to make it work. And I was working at the time it was called Mario's Via Abruzzi.
I love Mario's.
Knocked it down, no more. Mm. But I was there when it first opened and waiting on these table of ladies. Got to talking to them. One of the ladies says that she's Tom Galassano's executive assistant. So I get my courage up and I pull up my, you know, brand new little business card. And I said, hey, shot in the dark here. But, you know, I during the day, I have a business and, you know, wondering if Tom would meet with me, if I could pick his brain for lunch or something. And she looked at me kind of like, oh, this poor kid. But she goes, you know, give me your card. Probably not, but I'll try. And lo and behold, about a week later, she calls me and she goes, yeah, Tom Galassano will meet with you. Wow. Meet him at the Northside Inn at noon on this day. And, you know, this was the height. I mean, he was still CEO of Paychex at the time, you know, and it was growing like super crazy. But he still took the time to meet with a little, you know, 25-year-old punk kid like me to talk about my little itty bitty business and give me advice and help me.
Yeah.
And that meant a lot. And it was great advice. He spent like an hour and a half with me. I took tons of notes and we built a friendship where, you know, we continued to have lunch through the years and we can continue to talk every now and then. I just called him the other day for his thoughts on another venture that I'm exploring. And so I think the lesson there, you know, when I tell that story, the lesson there is don't be afraid to ask, you know, some pretty audacious questions. You know, for me, hey, you think Tom will have lunch with me? It was pretty audacious, you know,
yeah. But
probably, you know, the most successful business person in Rochester at the time. And probably the most least successful business person at the time, me asking right. him to lunch. And, you know, and it was great. So he's extra special to me. So he's been on my podcast. So I had a really, really good interview with him. We instead of talking about Paychex all the time, I asked him about little Tom. I said, Tom, tell me about, you know, growing up. Well, what was that experience like? And so we got to know a little bit more about the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, it's I love that story because it really shows, you know, I like to have low expectation or no expectation when I'm reaching out to someone who's basically out of my league. But it's easy to forget that they're humans too, and they were mentored too. And if you treat them like a friend and ultimately a mentor, and you don't just try to pry and pick their brain and steal information from them, people are very happy to give it. And that's why I'm happy that ultimately you decided to do my podcast. A lot of great things to talk about. I have one question I wanted to sort of ask right off the bat. Can I have Grant Cardone's phone number?
I don't even have it. A friend of mine knew his assistant. And so once again, I was shot in the dark. I emailed his assistant. Hey, do you think Mr. Cardone would be in my podcast? And, you know, she got back to me. She was very nice. And she, you know, the typical email, you know, Mr. Cardone gets a lot of responses. Yeah. To be considered, please fill out this form. And it was all the information, you know, how long I've been doing it, other guests I've had, number of downloads, the audience, all that stuff. And I was expecting, you know, here's another form that's going to go in the circular file. Well, lo and behold, she got back to me a couple weeks later and she's like, Mr. Cardone would be happy to be on your podcast. And then she gave all these conditions, you know, no longer than half an hour. You have to mention these three things. I'm like, oh, here we go, but I'll still do it. And he's known to be, you know, obviously a little, we'll say high energy.
Yeah.
You know, some people would describe him as obnoxious, but I got to tell you, he was great. I got him on the podcast. I said, so I understand we have half an hour. He goes, nah, whatever, whatever you need, Dave, you're doing me a favor. I'm like, oh, that was nice. And then he goes, and then I said, well, so your assistant said that we need to talk about, you know, Cardone University and two other things. And he goes, heck with that. Whatever you want to talk about, whatever. Let's just make this interesting for your listeners, Dave. And he was the coolest guy. He was very, you know, I'll say humble, modest, told a story, didn't come across as arrogant at all. And it was one of my favorite interviews. He was really just a super cool guy.
For any, you know, young podcasters or young entrepreneurs that are trying to get someone like a Grant Cardone in their industry, just on in front of them to have a conversation. I mean, you sent an email, you got a reply, he decided to do it. It makes it sound so easy. Was there anything that has led up to that day in terms of previous guests or the way you reach out to guests? Or did you have systems in place, or do you find that you just got lucky?
Yeah, sometimes you get lucky. You know, what's the saying? The harder you work, the luckier you get. You know, I could tell you another 100 stories of, you know, phone calls and emails that did not get answered.
Sure.
Yeah. So, but every now and then, you know, to your point, what had helped me, I think, with Grant was that I had some pretty cool previous guests before that. I had Ed Mylett. I had, you know, Kevin Harrington. So I had some, you know, Jeffrey Gittimore. So I had some people that, you know, he might have heard of, or I think he actually knows Ed. That might have helped, right?
But
once again, you know, reaching out to those guys was a shot in the dark in the beginning as well. So, but it, you know, at the end of the day, it's a sales game. You know, it's just pick and shovel work, roll your sleeves up, whatever you want to call it. So you know what? Make 100 attempts, and guess what? You know, three or five are going to work out, and be psyched about those three or five.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you've got to be, in my opinion, you've got to be looking at outreach on a daily basis. I'm going to ask you offline, but one thing I say, Dave, virtually every conversation is I'm trying to meet 20 new people this week, and oftentimes I miss it. So, and I missed the mark by 16 last week. So is there anyone you can recommend, you know, anyone you can get me in touch with? And it's always making those connections, because if you talk to 20 people and two of them lead to an incredible relationship, I like that ratio because I have two incredible relationships I'm fostering. So yeah. We kind of jumped to today with the podcast and, you know, these accolades and in your history here. But let's talk about the history in terms of like what brought you here today, because you've basically started multiple successful businesses, right? Can we go back to where you were when you were in your 20s and maybe walk through that, you know, maybe a couple of the businesses you started and potentially a failure business or some of the pitfalls and what you learned from them?
Yeah. So I'm still in my 20s. So it's not hard to remember. I'm 52, but I feel 24, and I certainly act 12 every now and then. So
I'm 29. I'm 29, and I act 15. So
yeah, very good, very good, excellent. No, it started. You know, my first. You know, well, I'll go back to college. Yeah. You know, I had gone to college to be a dentist. Ended up doing an internship. You know, realized that was not my calling. Ended up working for the college newspaper and loved it. Sold ads, wrote. And then when I got out of college, I worked in radio sales for 3 years. I sold radio advertising. Not my love. You know, it was a job. But then, you know, the entrepreneurial bug bit me at age 25, and I ended up starting this magazine called Next Step Magazine. And the whole mission of Next Step Magazine was to help high school students with college, career, and life planning. And we started just in Rochester, printed 10,000 copies, gave them free to the high schools in bulk. And then we sold ads to make our money, mostly colleges, sometimes banks for student loans in the military. And made a profit by the third issue. So we expanded to Buffalo and Syracuse, made a bigger profit, expanded to all New York State, made a bigger profit.
Congratulations.
And ended up creating a franchise system. So we ended up franchising the magazine concept into different states and regions around the country, to the point where we were in every state. We had 17 regional editions around the country. We were in about 20,000 high schools 5 times a year. It was a great business. And unfortunately, the digital revolution really started to chip away at that, right? Teens and print no longer cutting edge technology. Mm-hmm. So about 2014, we put it online. Never was the same in ad revenue as most magazines and newspapers are, you know, proving. So I ended up selling it. Sold it 2016. So I ran that from, you know, 95 to 2016. So it was a good run. I kept it for too long. You know, I tried to keep the people and the model and try to reinvent. And that was a kind of a learning lesson as far as I should have been a little less emotional and a little more businesslike, which is kind of, you know, revamping or cutting bait sooner instead of holding on. And then I kind of went into a, I don't want to say a tailspin, but I tried to, you know, kind of reboot with some different business ideas, and we're still revolving around education. I opened up a retail center called Next Step U College and Career Planning Center. So kind of like a silver learning center, except we were helping teens with their future, college and career planning focused. And that didn't make it. Couldn't get enough customers to make that work. Tried an online school called Next Step Academy, where we would have online courses that focused on life skills for teenagers. Gave that away free to high schools, and that model was going to be ad revenue. Schools, you know, said they would implement it. They never really got behind it. The core curriculum got implemented that year, and they just didn't have enough bandwidth for it. So that didn't work out too well. And then, you know, eventually I started my second hit company called Avanti. And that was designed as a coaching company. We designed a coaching program to help people start and grow businesses. And then I started doing events for entrepreneurs. And then I started the podcast for entrepreneurs, Avanti Entrepreneur Podcast. And what it naturally turned into is a monthly meetup. Everybody loved the event so much. So I started, you know, they pay a yearly fee, membership fee. And we'd get together every month after work, the third Wednesday of every month after work. The first hour would be beer, wine, hors d'oeuvres, networking. And then the second hour would be a speaker, bringing a speaker to teach them things on. Could be leadership, finances, sales, all that great stuff, right? And so we really got that going. We had about 100 members, started expanding into different cities. And then, you know, this little thing called COVID hit.
Right.
So in-person events, not all the rage. So we went online, but it's not the same. You know, and I'm not renewing a lot of people because there's so much free content and Zoom meetings out there already. A lot of free stuff out there now, right? And it, you know, it's hard to sign people up too. So I'm still doing some coaching. One of my focuses is coaching people to start podcasts, which I love doing. And then I'm doing some work at a company here called Entree Computer Services. I'm doing some sales and marketing work for them, and I'm actually doing a podcast for them too.
An internal podcast or?
Yeah. It's called the New IT, and it's to highlight the IT community here in Rochester. So I host
love
that.
Got it.
And what's great for me is I'm not an IT guy, so I get to ask a lot of, you know, like layman questions,
right?
Which I think makes it more interesting, you know?
Yeah.
And then one of the most fun things I'm doing is a couple of months ago, a friend of mine, very successful businessman here in Rochester, called me and he goes, "Dave, I love your podcast. which is now called the Gonzo Experience, by the way. Love your podcast. Love your interviewing style. Because I would love for you to interview me. And I said, oh, you want to be on my podcast? He goes, no, I just want you to do a legacy interview with me. I want you to capture my story. You know, he said that his dad died when he was nine. You know, he's on his third marriage. He's got three kids. So he just wanted to capture his life, his journey, lessons learned, all that great stuff. So that he had very successful business so that, you know, his great, great grandkids will still know who he is. And so we ended up doing a 6-hour interview. We did three segments of 2 hours each. Wow. We're both talkers, right? And,
yeah.
And then we're taking the audio and transcribing it into a book. So I'll have his autobiography as well. So I was like, wow, there's a cool business model here. So I started marketing that. I got another woman to sign up a couple of weeks ago. So I just did a legacy interview with her and we're doing a book with her as well. And so I'm gonna, you know, really look to see if I could do more of these. I mean, if I do, you know, 30, 40, 50 of these legacy interviews a year, this is one a week. It'll be a very successful, high profit margin business. And then the book too. And so that excites me as an entrepreneur, as another you know, kind of direction for me.
Yeah, I love it. I'd like to think I'm this way. You definitely are, but you figure things out as you go. It seems like as part of being an entrepreneur, you need to start with a business plan and an idea, but be ready to pivot at a dime. And it seems like you're really taking your ability to talk, your ability to podcast, your ability to influence, ask good questions, have good conversations, and that can be utilized in multiple mediums as an entrepreneur. Like writing the books. Well, first off, quick comment, the Avanti Entrepreneur Network. I don't really care what it costs. You can sign me up. We'll talk offline. And tell us about the book. It was a bestseller, right?
Yeah. So I wrote a book with 9 other authors. It's called Crash and Learn instead of Crash and Burn, obviously. And we got, there's 10 of us that each wrote a chapter about our experiences of running a business, the highs, being on top, crashing, you know, maybe almost losing everything, but instead of, you know, burning, we continue to move forward and rose like the phoenix. So there's 10 great stories in there about the journey of the highs and lows of being an entrepreneur. So it came out, of course, you know, February 2020, right in time for COVID again. And, you know, didn't really have time to do we were going to do some speaking tours and some book signings and all that stuff. In fact, we had a book signing ready to go at Park Lee over on Park Ave.
Yeah.
On, was it March 14th, which was that Saturday. The Friday before is when the world shut down. Right. So we did not do that book signing and, but we're like, we'll do it in 3 weeks. Right. You know, would they say 15 days to stop the spread? We're like, all right, you know, yeah, we'll reschedule.
Flatten the curve and we're good to go.
Yeah. And here we are over a year later and we're still getting there. Right. So
it's all part of the journey, I suppose. I did notice, I want to shout this out. Mike Bergen was one of the co-authors on that book. And Mike was probably about 10 to 15 episodes ago. So I recommend everybody watch or listen to the Mike Bergen episode. Great conversation on test prep, but more than that, meta learning how to learn, because if you learn how to learn properly, you can be a better business person, you can be a better entrepreneur, you can influence and teach better. So listen to the Mike Bergen episode after this one. Yeah, I'm curious. So you're very involved with education and mentorship and coaching. Who's your coach, or who was your coach, or where'd you get it from?
Sure. Great question. Let me back up just for a second, though, because
Please. You
mentioned Mike Bergen.
Yeah.
I just want to call him out. Great guy. One of the smartest guys in Rochester. In fact, when I had that college planning center, Mike was, you know, we had contracted with him to deliver our test prep. So super incredible guy. We also had, I don't know, another guy you should have on your podcast locally is Justin Copey from Innovative Solutions. He was another author in the book as well. And he's got some great stories too. So as far as my mentors, you know, I kind of have created my own, and people don't even know they're around it, my own mastermind alliance, right? So I have people that I reach out to.
I love that you said people don't even know they're on it.
They don't even
on.
Know. They yeah. don't even know. Like, you know, Tom Galisano, he's in my mastermind alliance. Does he know? Yeah. No. But, you know, like I called him earlier this week. I called him on Tuesday to pick his brain on something, right? I mean, through the years, it's been, you know, rock stars like, you know, Arunas Jasonis, who started Paytech, when, you know, I would call him all the time, and he, you know, and he was so cool. He's like, yeah, let's grab coffee and chat. I would ask him questions. You know, so there are, you know, there's people in Rochester and outside of Rochester. There's a very good friend of mine who is a very successful entrepreneur, Carl Gold. He's one of the number one rated speakers in the Entrepreneurs Organization. I call him. So there's a lot of people that another guy you may know, Anthony DiAgostino, and then another Anthony Testa, and two guys in Rochester that are tremendous business owners. And so I have this, you know, this network of people. I have some fraternity brothers that I reach out to. And it is, you could probably attest to, there's a lot of people on my podcast that are just wicked smart, and I've learned a lot from them. And I reach out to them on a regular basis too. So when I have a new idea, sometimes I'll email them and get it vetted by them. And it's been fantastic. So, another woman here locally, Maria Cast, she's a core leadership coach. Tremendous, helping me really think things through. So I have a variety of people that really help me in different areas of my life.
What about little Dave? Was there someone, you know, 20 plus years back that really affected or changed the course of your life?
Well, that's a great question.
You did mention Tom already, so
yeah, I would say Tom was a big one. I would just say, you know, building that first company and the people that I hired to be on the team, really, they're so special. That's such a special time in my life because we were, you know, creating something from nothing, and we didn't know how to do it. We were learning and making it up together. And I look back at it was such a bonding and such a crucial time in my life of just experiencing something that was. That really, you know, sometimes it was scary, but it was exciting. And so I look back at the people that I did that with. And even though, you know, I don't see them or talk to them every day anymore, they're still such a special part of my journey.
Yeah, real special. Scary, but exciting. That's what I like to hear. Yeah. Talking about scary and exciting, this is something that's coming up a lot for me personally. And it's the imposter syndrome. And yep. dealing with lots of entrepreneurs, yourself chatting with people like Ed Mylett and Grant Cardone and Kevin Harrington. For me, it feels like it's hard not to start to feel like I have that imposter syndrome. And everybody in my network says, Ben, you're overachieving. You do exactly what you tell me that you're going to do. You deserve this. And I'm doing well in my business very quickly as an entrepreneur. And it actually scares me. That I'm growing too fast, or I shouldn't be talking to Dave right now, or silly things like that, that are obviously just in my head. But have you ever experienced that imposter syndrome? And if you've worked with entrepreneurs that have, what kind of coaching advice do you have for that?
Yeah, I think, you know, we all have it at some point or another. You know, I listened to Gary Vee, and, you know, his first video, there was like 3 views. Yeah. And, right. you know, so he said he had imposter syndrome. What am I doing a video? And now look at him. So, you know, you all, you know, you don't know what you're doing until you know what you're doing. Right. And you just kind of, you know, and the imposter syndrome really is fear rearing its head. And, you know, fear is not real. Right? I mean, it's something that is made up. Like we make it up. And, you know, it's what's the acronym? Fear is false evidence appearing real.
Yeah.
It's just not real. And, you know, I've learned that, you know, you could try to have courage, but you could also try to be fearless, right? You know, and there's a difference in like, I'm courage, like I'm going to do this, but also just being calm and saying, you know what, I'm just going to push through this, you know? And, you know, we're being here in Western New York, we're all Buffalo Bill fans. Well, buffaloes are really cool because they're the only animals that when there's a storm approaching, all other animals will run away from the storm and try to avoid it. where Buffalo, they literally run into the storm. Wow. They attack it.
That does sound like Buffalo. I love it.
I know. but what happens then is the storm, it lasts a lot shorter for them, right? Because they just go into it, they deal with it, and they get it over with. Where the other animals, you know, they're running away, they're dealing with the fear of the storm coming. And then, you know, as they're running, the storm takes longer to pass over them because they're running away from it. So they experience the beginning of it, the middle of it, the end of it, like a lot longer. And whereas the buffalo just run right towards it and get it done with. And so I thought that was a good lesson. And I learned these lessons from people on my podcast. And so, you know, listen, it's all in your head and you just have to do whatever you can to wipe it away and, you know, continue to have the actions that make you to do the actions that make you great. And then the rest will take care of itself. If you're in your zone of genius, you know, if your soul is smiling when you're doing the work, then that's going to give you great energy to just continue to do more of it and get better at it day by day.
I love this. And you brought up Gary Vee, and I got to digress a little bit because I had one of those aha moments, because literally just the other day, my I believe he spoke for the alumni at leadership team alumni for University of Rochester. And my girlfriend sends me a text. I'm driving. She's all like, I'm in this leadership seminar with this Gary Vee guy. He has like 5 best-selling books. I think you might like him. And I'm like, is the Pope Catholic? Like, yeah. But what brought that up right now is I had that aha moment that Gary Vee is very popular. We know that. But as you said, he started from nothing and didn't have popularity. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, not everybody knows him. So just because he's an idol or influential person in my life or maybe your life doesn't mean he's not just a normal human that is no different than any of us. He still puts his pants on the same way in the morning. So that just brought up for me. And you brought up the Bills. We brought up Rochester. I love to talk about Rochester, not the entire podcast because then it would just be too much Rochester talk. But I always bring up Rochester on the show. And a 2-part question. First part is, what do you love about Rochester / you know, what keeps you here? And the second part would be, if you have any, you know, constructive criticism, feedback that we can take and make Rochester better.
Well, I love Rochester because, you know, it's such a city that punches so much harder than its weight, might be the way to say it. And we're a small city. You know, when you really get ambitious, you could say Rochester, you know, the greater Rochester area, the 5-county area, has about around 1 million people. But, you know, but man, the stuff coming out of here for the city size that we are is tremendous. You know, the entrepreneurial thinking, the entrepreneurial inventions, just, you know, the schools, the people, it is, it's still a place where people are normal. And what I mean by that is you kind of know what to expect from your fellow Rochesterians, where, you know, if I go to, you know, California, if I go down south and bigger cities, I don't see the life that we really take for granted here in Rochester, which is a great quality of life, right? Very family oriented town. You know, it's still, you know, many parts of Rochester are still like Mayberry, you know, where if you get that reference, you might be too young for it, but just like this utopian, you know, place to live. And, you know, where, you know, families are having dinner, families, you know, are going to their place of worship on the weekends, and they're, you know, the kids' sports games. And, you know, we have the canal to run or bike on. We have the Finger Lakes. We have the lake. There's so many things to do here. It's a city of immigrants. So we have a great diversity here. We have great restaurants here because of that diversity as well. And it's there. I think there's literally something in the water when you're traveling and you meet somebody from Rochester, there's just something there that automatically, even if you never met the person, that just connects you. Right. You know, the one thing that I would love Rochesterians to do is be prouder. They'll be afraid to brag about this.
I like that. Right.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's in the past, it's, you know, you get an airplane, where you're from, Rochester. Oh yeah, the snow, the weather's not great. You know, what are we, Eeyore? I mean, talk about like, oh, RIT is the 11th largest private college in the country. You know, U of R is one of the best school. I mean, RIT is too, but U of R, one of the most renowned research schools, you know, in the world. You know, Kodak, yes, it's not doing well now, but guess what? They had a 100-year great run, and it was a worldwide brand leader when George Eastman, you know, was traveling by horse in, you know, I mean, it's Xerox, Bausch & Lomb, Paychex, the companies that have come out of here and continue to come out of here, you know, we're the optics capital of the world. You know, our high schools in the suburbs are great. City needs some work. Yes. Mm. But we've got so many great things going on here. And it's, you know, don't be afraid to brag about the quality of life here.
I'm with you. I want to shout out, I want to add to the list Transcat. Have you heard of Transcat?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, I own their stock, so I have stake of the game here. So I'm letting people know I have stake in the game, but they're the largest, you know, the company for calibration of, you know, medical devices and things like that in the world. Yeah. And there's all these little gems that we might not know about, but I like what you said about being more proud. Yeah. Not being Eeyore about it, you know? Go on.
Yeah, listen, Constellation, you know, they're the largest beer and wine distributor, in the world, right. In Victor, New York, right? Yeah. Optimax, they're the largest optics company, you know, in the country, right in Ontario County, or in Williamsville, right? So, Ontario, New York, so right around Williamsville. So, I mean, so many great things going on here. It's unbelievable. For a city our size, like I said, I'll say it again, you know, we punch a lot harder than our weight. I think our tagline should be like, when you drive into the city, it should say Rochester, New York. There's more to life than good weather.
Can I have Grant Cardone's phone number?
Because listen, yes, we get the full thrust of all four seasons, but
right.
You know what? There's a lot of miserable people in Florida. And right. So weather is not the only factor that makes a great life.
Well, and let's define good, because what's good to one person might not be good to the next. I mean, if you look at good and weather, all four seasons logically makes sense. Living in a place that doesn't experience all four seasons to me is a cause of concern, because we're supposed to, there's no white Christmas, for example. There's a cause of concern. Yeah. In Rochester, we're experiencing the weather exactly how it's been wrote about in books. So I think that's potentially a good thing, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you completely. I was in Arizona many years ago around Christmas time for a business meeting about a week before Christmas. And it was weird. They had, you know, the Christmas trees up in the offices and things like that. And, but it was like 80. I'm like, this is so odd.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I want to ask you, and you can include your own, but I want at least three answers. And I ask because I'm basically building my business on gratitude and gift giving and trying to do more for people and hoping and knowing it'll come back to me. So one thing I love to do is give out gifts. So if I were to choose three books for a business person, maybe a young entrepreneur, I'll allow you to choose your own, but I would like, you know, three fresh ones, actually, at least two. What three books would you choose to gift?
Yeah, sure. Mine could be the fourth one, and I'll give, give that. In fact, if anybody emails me, from your podcast, I'll email them the PDF version of my book for free.
Great.
And, you know, david@davidmamano.com. Pretty easy to remember.
I think I saw it was like $2 on Amazon.com for the ebook as well. So
right, yeah, the Kindle version is $1.99, and then the hardcover I believe is $20 or something like that. I forget now. So yeah,
so there's no reason they can't get it. So go on.
Yeah. Well, I'm reading. Speaking of a book and Tom Galisano, he wrote a book last year called Built Not Born. And I'm reading that right now. It is tremendous. It's, if anybody's thinking of starting or growing a business, that's better than any like how to build a business book that I've ever read. It's from a guy that did it from zero, you know, using credit cards, working out of his house, to the multi-billion-dollar business that they are today. And it's a very it's written for the beginning stage entrepreneur. So it's not like he's not getting into, venture capital and all this, this complex stuff when for a lot of us more, just bootlegged entrepreneurs. So Build Not Born, tremendous book. Other books, I wish I could look at my library right now. Yeah. Good to Great, by Jim Collins is always a classic, right? It's a great one to read. He talks about the hedgehog concept, and the hedgehog has been around for millions of years, whereas a lot of his, many stronger species that it was around with back in the day are gone. And the reason is the hedgehog only does one thing really, really well for survival. And that is when it's attacked by what's the word I'm looking for?
Predator of any
predator. Kind. Thank you. Yeah. I was going to say competitor, a predator. It folds up into this really hard protective shell, and the predator cannot get it, and therefore it survived so many years, whereas a lot of its predators have not, and it's because it just does one thing really, really well. And so Jim Collins' advice is: what's that one thing? What is your hedgehog concept? What's the one thing that you can be the best in the world at? And not five things, not three things, one thing. So that was a tremendous book as well.
Dave, what's yours? What's your one thing?
Interviewing. I love to interview. Yep, I'm on my podcast. I have my Rockstars TV show that's been on hold since COVID, but I'd like to get it going again. I'm doing these legacy interviews. I have a dream of starting a news network for entrepreneurs. And so I love interviewing people.
Love
so,
that.
So, co-hosting events, hosting events, emceeing events, anything where basically I'm like talking to entrepreneurs. and then let's see, a third book. It's a classic that I think everybody should read at least once a year. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Right.
That's a classic. That book. Has really changed a lot of people's thinkings and a lot of their mindsets as well. And it really goes into at the end of the day, visualizing, where you want to be and then kind of reverse engineering a plan to make that happen, manifesting through God, through the universe. I think it was written in the 30s and it's still a very, very popular book today.
Yeah, I love that book, and I love about 98% of it changed my life. But I don't know if you remember this, it just popped in my mind. He has this segment talking about how if you don't think and grow rich properly, you're basically going to lose your hair and weird stuff like that. And as someone who's balding in his upper 20s, I'm like, right. Napoleon, you had me.
Right.
But then he started talking about like standing up straight and you're going to lose your hair. And I'm like,
right.
I don't know why that came to mind, but do you remember that section? And part of why I bring that up is imperfection. I think he nailed it about at least 80% of the time, but then little bits and pieces of that book you can tell was written in the 30s. So maybe just a disclaimer that if you do read that book, it will change your life. But a couple of some of his mentality is clearly almost 100 years old and irks people like me that are balding. But so that's a personal issue,
Obviously, some of these books are a little bit older. There are some outdated pieces, and I don't remember that part.
He literally says, like, I forget exactly, but he literally says, if you're going to bald and be unhealthy and less. And I'm like, I really don't think I can control the hair, bro. Like,
No. Get that cap with the electric lights or something like that, right? So,
oh, yeah. Does that help?
I don't know. I see that in a commercial. And it's like, the people are putting radiation in their brain or something. I don't know if I would recommend it.
one more question just on reading and coaching and things like that. Aside from being a coach and being a professor and being an avid reader, what do you do to stay chipper these days? I mean, I presume you're a lifelong learner. Is there anything specific that keeps the saw sharp per se?
Well, I have some non-negotiables, like, my morning is my time. And that's when I really I read a book. And this is another great book by Hal Elrod called The Miracle Morning for Entrepreneurs. And it's about setting up routines in the morning that kind of shape your day. And for me, you know, it's about some, doing some deep breathing, having some lemon water. I work out, right? So I'll alternate cardio and weightlifting, reading, journaling, meditation, some prayer. And I'll try to do most of those things every morning, you know, getting up at 5 or 5:30. So that, you know, really helps. I think going to bed too, you know, thinking about things that I'm grateful for, like going to sleep
gratitude
with thoughts of things that I'm grateful for is a great way. You know, Joan Rivers, who used to be a very popular comedian, you know, she said that she gives some great advice. She said, the last thing I do every day is when I go to sleep, I think of three things that I'm really grateful for. And I just drift off with those thoughts. And I really like that. I thought that was fantastic. You know, so I would say those things are very helpful to keep my saw sharp. I definitely love to be around people. I've got, you know, I've got three great kids that are fun, outdoors, hiking, riding bikes, just walking, getting some fresh air. I think that's important as well. Just staying active, you know, use it or lose it. Right. I mean, keep on moving.
I'm with you. I mean, you're speaking my language, brother. The Miracle Morning, and this is a conversation for a whole nother podcast, but I started the Miracle Morning probably 6 to 7 years ago, completely changed my life. Yeah. And you already addressed it, but silence, affirmations, visualization, exercise, reading, scribing/journaling.
Yeah.
Again, a conversation for another podcast. And if anybody wants to reach out to either of us, we can explain. But that book, The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod, testimonial, it literally changed my life, rewired my brain. And you can't expect the success to happen overnight. You need to have those non-negotiables. So I do want to move to the rapid fire round for sake of time.
Oh, by the way, I also had Hal on my podcast too. Hal Elrod was on my podcast as well.
Very cool. What's his phone number, Dave?
Oh, you know, I actually do have that, but I'll see if I'm allowed to give it out, right? So
we'll talk offline. So rapid fire round, short, sweet, you know, fill in the blank, either or question, just to get to know Dave a little bit better. Sound good?
I'm all game.
Let's do it. Coffee or tea?
I do both. I actually, it's funny. I have espresso in the morning and then I drink tea throughout the day.
Got it. Beer or wine?
Once again, I'll say 80% wine, red wine, 20% beer.
I'm not even going to ask you these questions. Just assume that everything's a yes to all. No, I'm kidding. Cats or dogs?
Oh, there's just one for that. Dogs.
Okay. What about mornings or evenings?
I like mornings better.
Cool. iOS or Android?
Oh, total iOS.
iOS. And let's go with one more. Favorite ice cream flavor?
I love pistachio.
Cool. Pistachio ice cream?
Yep.
Not a fan. That's something we can't relate on.
Well, you know, you just won't get to try mine.
Fair enough. I'd love to have you back again. Again, we only scratch the surface, but I really recommend people check out the Gonzo Experience podcast, where all these ultimately celebrities, but more than that, real humans imparting business advice have chatted with Dave on his podcast. You're a wealth of information. Where else can we reach out, you know, read the book, get to know you, you know, consulting, Avanti? There's a lot of things, right? Is there where should I go to get to know Dave a little bit better?
Yeah, the best way, the hub is davidmamano.com. My email, I was about to say david@davidmamano.com, but the website is davidmamano.com, and Mamano is MMMANO.
Got it. That's the hub. It's in the show notes. It seems like you can reach out and get a free copy of the book, or honestly, just buy it on Amazon for $2. It'll deliver directly to your device. I'll be chatting with you soon. Final question, because we did have a time crunch, I wish I could talk to you for 5 hours. Anything that, you know, I would have asked if I was the listener, maybe something that I missed that the listener might be still curious about, any, you know, final tips or any things that I should have asked you that you want to end with?
I would just say, you know, be in alignment with your soul. You know, whatever you're doing, work, relationships, make yourself happy. Make sure that, you know, what you're doing is, you know, like, it can't be everything. Probably like doing the dishes is not going to make your soul happy. There's some things that you like, you have to do. But on the bigger things, you know, relationships, career, spirituality, health, mental and physical, do the things that when you are immersed in them, you're like, oh, I am in flow and my soul is just happy. And you're never going to get it perfect, so don't be disappointed, but striving to be in that place is a beautiful thing.
Dave, you're incredible. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Ben. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.